This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you as well. Jewish Australian academic released from an Iranian prison after 800 days. Wow.
I know. A bizarre story, to say the least. And obviously, you know, our hearts go out to this academic. So her name is Kylie Moore-Gilbert. Obviously, listeners would not have heard of her. But this issue has received front page coverage in mainstream media here. So an Australian academic, as you say, she converted to Judaism last year and went to Iran, of all places, to study. And whereupon she was arrested and accused by Iran and sentenced to 10 years for spying, charges which she absolutely denies. And she spent 800 days, which is about 2.25 years, in one of Tehran's terrible prisons. And again, obviously flatly denying the charges. And broadening the picture out, what seems to have been the issue is that she was estranged from her husband, so ex-husband, who happens to be Russian-Israeli and living here in Melbourne. And the charge by Iran were that both she and her husband were agents of Israel. I mean, it gets more and more bizarre as we keep talking. And she believes that they arrested her to try and lure her former husband, who they believed was a spy, to Iran to come and get her.
Unbelievable.
Australian government, Australian authorities made a lot of noise, etc., and appealed, and what obviously not privy to what happened behind the scenes. But the good news was that she was released just recently, in recent days. And she's back in Australia. She's back in Melbourne. So, and obviously flatly rejects this whole allegation about spying as he calls it, a fairy tale, which is obviously a nice way of doing it. But also said she writes a letter to the Prime Minister here saying that the Iran's Revolutionary Guard tried to use it as a hostage in a diabolical plot to lure her husband, to go to Iran, and then he would have been arrested as well. So the entire story is pretty
bizarre weird story. And also the fact that it's the ex-husband. I mean, many, many ex-wives would have been very happy to lure their ex-husband to Iran. Just saying.
I make no comment.
Right. But, and what was she doing there in the first place?
She's an academic. I know. I mean, there's a lot of places to go and be an academic.
The truth is, I would be fascinated to go to Iran. I would be tempted to go to visit Iran. I think the history there must be unbelievable. It's a world apart. It's cut off from the rest of the world in many ways. I would absolutely love to go and see it. So I do understand it, in truth.
Yeah, I mean, your point is, your point is well made. However,
either way, at least she's back. At least she is back. Did she refer at all to how she was treated there?
She's been very coy about that. And this is pure speculation. I'm suspecting that it may have been part of the deal that she doesn't
speak about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she did spend 800 days there, which is...
And in that type of environment, just mentally not knowing, they could quite easily have hanged her or kept her there for forever. There's no measure of rationality or decency. So anything could have happened, really.
And the other interesting aspect of this bizarre scenario is that it only emerged that she's Jewish after she got back.
Incredible.
And so, which is a good thing, I'm guessing, given her circumstances, given where she was. It's only when she came back that it turned out that she actually converted to Judaism last year. Because obviously, if it had become an issue, it would not have helped her situation as bad as it was.
Absolutely. Incredible. Leading Israeli political figures to headline the IUA Gala event. Tell us about this.
So So this is obviously, given the COVID situation, nothing is what it once was. Mm-hmm. So whereas, you know, in recent times, we would have had 2,000 people at a local function center near you. Now it's that they've styled it as a kind of a TEDx, a UIA's version of TEDx.
Oh, that's quite clever.
And so what they have, it is. And so they've got some good names like Tsipi Livni, you know, former foreign minister, Dan Meridor, former deputy prime minister, Bugi Ayalon, former IDF chief of staff and defense minister. Those are the big names. And then a whole lot of other random names, if I can say, former top Israeli chefs. And so really broadening out the sort of TEDx appeal, I guess, where you can get anything and everything, for the evening. So, and you have the choice. You can turn up and obviously get fed. It's a Jewish function after all. But the majority of people are choosing to stay at home in the comfort of their own home and watch it online. And so, sadly, obviously, that's the new normal for everyone.
It's just a reality.
And that'll be the, here it's called, yeah, in South Africa, and it's the IUA, here it's the UIA, it's the same product. That's how it's going to be happening around the country. Yeah. With these high profile people, zooming in and speaking remotely.
Yeah, amazing that. Finally, call for reform of Sydney Beth Din gets to get a public airing. We spoke about this last week. Tell us about the latest developments here.
So we spoke about it last week. It has caused, I guess, not remarkable if one thinks about it. It's caused an enormous amount of interest in the community. And so just to recap very briefly, the Board of Deputies spent close to 2 years on an inquiry into the Sydney Beth Din and came out with a 28-page report, which was published last week, and where the word shambolic appeared no less than 3 times. And as a result of that, there was a meeting between the Beth Din and the Board of Deputies just a few days ago. And tonight we have a monthly plenum of the Board of Deputies where the issue is going to be the focus of the evening. And over 200 people have registered to attend. Again, the majority online, one quarter in person. But typically, 50 or 60 people will attend a monthly plenum of the Board of Deputies. We've got over 200, which says that what the Beth Din does or does not do in terms of all the halakhic issues, which we all know about, is something which pushes a lot of buttons for a lot of people. And so interesting to see the community interest on this. And both organizations, the Board of Deputies and the Beth Din, have issued a joint statement committing to work, etc. And the key issue is with any Beth Din is to separate the halakhic operation from the administration, from the finance, from the governance, all those things. And that really lies probably at the heart of the issues. So it promises to be an interesting evening. We have a Supreme Court judge, no less, a former president of the Board of Deputies who will be chairing the discussion, and it well may need a Supreme Court judge's wisdom to make sure everyone stays in their
places.
Exactly.
Well, we certainly will watch that one very, very carefully from South Africa. Very interesting indeed. Vic Aladev, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. Look forward to chatting to you next week.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.